Hey, welcome to Crossroads, everybody. My name's Robbie. It's great to have you guys here. Just stand up and we're going to spend some time singing together. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded in praise. Till of his might and sing of his grace, whose robe is the light and canopy space, whose chariots of wrath the deep thunder clouds fall. Path on the wings of the storm. You alone are the matchless king. To you alone be your majesty. Glories and wonders where tongue can recite. Breathe in the air, shine in the light. A measure delight to worship above. My mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. You alone are the matchless king. You alone be, oh majesty. Your glories and wonders, what tongue can recite.
Cross I cling. of its suffering I do dream, and of its work I do sing. For on it my Savior both bruised and crushed showed that God is love and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Undeserved life, if I ever give to Christ crucified. You called me out of doubt, you called me into life, and I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. Yeah. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost in words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross you so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Oh, the cross I must confess. How wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. You beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
Jesus sacrificed himself on a cross. He sacrificed himself on a cross so that someone else could have something better, and that is you and I could have the possibility of eternal life. His death for our sins brings us to life. That's what sacrifice is. When you could have something and you voluntarily not to have it or to lose it out of love for God and other people. A couple weeks ago, or last week, we did some sacrificing around here. It was our annual beans and rice fest. Some of us might be curious. Are you curious how much money we were able to sacrifice? You're brand new. It's become a tradition around here 3 years in a row now. For a week, we change our diet habits. We eat beans and rice, which is what many people from around the world eat all the time. And the money we spend on beans and rice, the difference between beans and rice and what we would have had at McDonald's or spaghetti on our dinner table or Boca or whatever it was, or whatever that difference is, we then pull our resources together and give to organizations outside of Crossroads. Some of us did all week, all meals, beans and rice. Some of us did like a lunch all week. Some of us ate out of our pantries and didn't buy any new food. I mean, everyone had the ability to figure out what was the right sacrifice for you. And as a result of our sacrifices, we're able to do four things. Number one, in our city, we can't just be concerned with all the problems that are downstream and mucky and icky. all the poverty stuff, which is important to deal with, all the brokenness. At some point, we got to get upstream and start creating jobs, creating wealth, creating opportunities. And the best thing we saw to do that this year is the nonprofit new business accelerator called Ocean. And we said, let's start putting some money in that. So we were able to sacrifice the poor money, and we're going to be able to give to Ocean $63,000. Come on, how good is that? Yes. But wait, there's more. Yes, there is more, because in our city, downstream problems are real, and kids don't have families in our city. There's a foster care crisis. There's not a loving environment to put foster children or an environment for foster kids to be adopted into. So there's a great organization that works with churches, getting people to be able to know how to foster and adopt. And we've decided to help that organization called Hope. Care for Hope. I can't remember the name right now. And we're looking, you'll see it in just a moment, because out of our sacrifice, we're going to give them and help kids get into homes to the tune of $100,000. Yes! Coalition of Care. There you go. But wait, there's more. Yes, there is more. We don't only be concerned in our church with those in the working poor. CityLink Center, we've helped start that. We funded $1 million a year to help people get out of poverty to sustainability. But beyond the working poor, there's those who are homeless, who are a long, 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 long way from being able to have a job. The best in class here in our city is City Gospel Mission. They do amazing work. They have a new facility. But we also know that infrastructure is how you change lives. If you don't have staff, if you can't have a building that's heated, if you don't have programming, it's the infrastructure. If you don't have stuff that you can organize, it's the infrastructure that changes lives. That's what's necessary. And so we're going to help them with their new building and their infrastructure costs to get programs going for $100,000. We're going to, bam, a new check for them. But wait, there's more. Because our city is under a plague. Our tri-state region is under a plague. It's called heroin abuse. People are falling prey to heroin. You would never expect to fall prey to heroin. It's a scourge in our city. It's only growing. We want to fight heroin and help those who want to come out of heroin addiction. So we are able to take from our sacrifices to put into the heroin problem. We're going to give it to all of our different campuses. So we're going to be distributing it to the organizations that are in their areas. We're going to fight heroin with an additional $200,271.11. Come on, for a grand total of $463,271.11. Great job, friends. Great job. Man, I'm so honored to be a part of those of us who sacrifice, and this is what worship is. Jesus worshiped God when he sacrificed himself on the cross. We worship when we do that, and we also worship when we come together and we sacrifice our voice, our lungs, by singing together. So let's keep doing that.
At the cross, you beckon me. At the cross, you beckon me. Draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross, you beckon me. Draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken. God, thank you for the way that you draw us to you, and you pour your love into us, and then you allow us to be a part of sharing your love with those who don't yet know you. It is truly a humbling privilege. Love the way that you pursue us, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing along. It's so great to be doing this with this team. It's just awesome. I want to ask you to do a couple things. I'd like to ask you to turn to somebody you don't know and negotiate the empty seat that might be next to you. No, just ask them, hey, how long have you been coming to Crossroads? And if there is an empty seat, then scoot in and share a little bit of your story and then grab a seat, all right?
this place is unlike anything in the world because it stands in the intersection of three major religions. This city has nothing to draw us to it. It has no great natural wonders around it. It's not a port city. It's the spiritual history of this city that makes it powerful. Going to be blessed, and you're going to grow to a new place in your understanding of yourself, and most importantly, your understanding of Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. Hey, good morning. My name is Rob. I am on staff here at Crossroads. I run the international work that we do. So South Africa, India, and starting today, Nicaragua. Nicaragua. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I've been here for 15 years, and I can honestly tell you that starting today, the next 3 weeks, there has not been a more special three weekends of services than you're about to experience. We'll get more into what's happening today in a little bit, but next week, Easter, and you might be asking, what's so special about Easter around Crossroads? We've been doing it every year for 19 years. It's pretty much happened every year for 2,000 years. Why is it special? Well, this year, we asked the question, what would it be like if we could all experience Easter in Jerusalem, where Jesus walked, where the events we're going to be talking about happened? There's power in that. Now, we know we can't all fly to Jerusalem, so we put our top creative minds on that problem, and what they came up with is amazing, and you're going to get to see it next week. You do not want to miss this. You want to bring your friends and family to this. You want to bring the person who cuts your hair. You want to bring your neighbor, the person who delivers your paper, whoever. Bring them next weekend. It is going to be incredible. Now, because we're going to have so many people next weekend, we have added services here in Oakley. We have Thursday night services. We have Friday night services. We have three on Saturday, three on Sunday. And to make that happen, we're ticketing this year. Now, we do not ticket just because we love ticketing. Believe me, we don't. But we're doing it because we want to ensure that everybody gets a seat. Tickets are not assigned seats, so you still can get whatever seat you want. But tickets guarantee you will have a seat. So to get tickets, go to crossroads.net/Easter. You can do it today. Get your tickets for next week. You don't want to miss it. Now, one of the challenges that comes with having something that big is we need an army of people to make it happen. Right, we need volunteers in Kids Club, First Impressions, and right now, we do not have enough. Well, something we do around here is we step up and serve, and we need people to do that right now. And we're not asking you for a six-month commitment, for a year commitment, even though that would be great. We're asking you for a one-service commitment. We need people. As it stands today, we will be turning kids away, families away from Kids Club, because we don't have enough people. So if you're nervous, I've never done it before, I don't know what to do, we will pair you with a seasoned veteran. They will show you what to do so it's as pain-free as possible. And if you hate kids, like I do sometimes, we desperately need help in First Impressions as well. We need this building to operate at full capacity. We need our systems working, so we need help at First Impressions. So what you do to get plugged into either of those is you text Kurds space serve to 313131. That's CRDS space serve to 313131. Don't forget the space. You can do that right now. Pull out your phone right now. No one will judge you. Actually, we'll love you for that. Text in Kurds space serve to 313131. We need your help. Now, if Easter is not enough, the weekend after that, we start our all church journey called Brave. The Brave journey starts in 2 weeks. And some people are excited about that. That's good. If you don't know what an all-church journey is, which might be why some of you are not clapping, because you don't know what it is, it is an immersive dive into one topic that our entire church does with 50 other churches in our city and region. We all do this together. And this year, it's called the Brave Journey. Just by the name alone, you know that this is going to be challenging. It is going to take us all to the next level. You want to do this. Everyone in our church gets in a small group. It's a very important part of the experience. And the way that you do that right now is you can now go to crossroads.net/journey and start to sign up for groups. We have groups for everybody. We have groups organized by age, by gender, by geographic location, whatever. You can find a group for you. Please go to crossroads.net/journey and start signing up. And if you want to host, it's not much more work than being a participant. Sign up to host because we need hosts as well. And to do all of that, we need to fuel that. And the way we do that is through an offering. That's when we all come together and fuel all the life change that's happening around here. So we're going to do that now. This is a great way to jump in and be involved with what's happening. Some people are going to come down. We're going to pass bags by. You can put money in there. You can go to crossroads.net/give. You can give there. You can even sign up for e-gift and make it regular. So money's coming out regularly, so you don't even have to worry about it. And while we do that, over the last month, 1,000 men had a pretty incredible experience. I got to be one of them. We got to put in place all those skills you've seen in the dude skills videos. We got to try those out and some other things. So check out this video.
All I know is who's prepared right now. Who's prepared right now? Who's got it? Come on. Oh, there it is. Bam. Bam. Anybody? There we go. We should be really honored today at 10 o'clock at Oakley because we actually have the arm wrestling champion right here, right now. This dude was putting people down like kids put down Kool-Aid. I mean, I'm telling you, it was really, and then we found out afterwards, he was over in Oktoberfest in Germany, and no one in all of Oktoberfest could beat him. And he's right here. Well, why don't you stand right now so we can all see it right now. Just a normal Crossroads guy, not volunteer. There we go. Look at that. Go give us a flex right there. Bam. Oh, man. I tell you what. I have been at Crossroads for 19 years. I've been in vocational, full-time paid ministry for 27 years. I've been a follower of Christ for 35 years. I have never seen anything that develops men like Man Camp, like 29 hours. Never seen it. No retreat, no conference, no trip, no nothing. It is astounding the traction that I saw in men's lives. One guy, the very first Man Camp, came and he gave his story in front of everybody. He said that they had been struggling with infertility, he and his wife. And that she wasn't all that sure that he should go on the trip because he wasn't a camper, but he decided to go and do it. And he wrestled with the fact that he didn't have a father figure. And now he's seeing God as his father, and he's feeling a connection there, and he wants to be a father to some child at some point. It was a really amazing story. I can't do it justice. Anyway, he goes home, and unfortunately, the next day, they find out that they are not pregnant. And he mans up. He sits up in bed, grabs his wife, says, "Hey, honey, this is going to be okay." He prays for her like she's never been prayed for, offers strength and encouragement. And then weeks later, this has been going, it wasn't just like, okay, it just happened. I wonder if it's still operating his life. She sends an email just this last week and gave permission to read it. Here's what she says. I can't thank you enough for what you are doing to fuel this crazy movement of God-loving, tree-chopping, wife-honoring, pig-eating, manly men. Damani and I are still on a different path, not different from each other, just their whole family chunk moved. I thought that maybe the tenderness and momentum that was built up in his heart that weekend would eventually wear off, but we are truly stronger because of his experience. And the Spirit was awakened in him, and it's not going anywhere. I'm so proud to call him my husband. Not that I wasn't before, but we just didn't know what we were missing. It makes me emotional that I get to do life alongside him. And there's no one else I'd rather submit to or work hard for in the name of God. The concept of men building into men is foundational. And as much as a wife wants to be all things to her husband, she simply cannot be. He must have God and his wolf pack bearing arms beside him always. What a fantastic weekend. Very cool. Man Camp was amazing. This is the close of our series, and we're not really talking about men any longer. We're talking about the wolf pack that includes women of God and men of God. One of the classic characteristics that people of God have, and especially men, is that we are protectors. Men and women of God are protectors. We see things that are wrong, we want to protect. Today, we're going to have the opportunity to protect. Lib and I have been with an organization called Compassion International for a long, long, long time. We've been sponsoring a child. We've had a couple, Tawil and Ragabuthi, and we're going to add another one today. For $38 a month, we can protect a child, give them basic food so they are fed, and give them basic education for $38 a month. There's additional things that you can do on top of that. We never have. Maybe we should, but that's what we do. And we're going to give you the opportunity to protect a child. Maybe you've got the resources and God's going to move you today and you're going to want to do more than one. Maybe you realize, man, $38 a month, that cannot happen. I'm a tither, I got this, there's no way that can happen. Maybe you want to partner up with two other people, three people. Maybe you want to be a wolf pack together on this. But that's the challenge for you today. And I'll tell you what, people have been stepping up amazing. This has been one of my favorite weekends in the history of my life, and hopefully you're going to see why in just a moment. Let's pray before we go any further. God, you're good. You're just good. You're good. And I know that you're good because you've met all of my needs. And for many of us in here, we realize that you are meeting our needs. And for many of us, you're actually meeting a heck of a lot of our wants as well. And it's an honor for us to consider how we can protect somebody else. So I pray that you'd help me be clear and you quicken your people's hearts. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Our very first year we did beans and rice, we decided to help and be with an organization that works with kids, one-on-one kids. You get assigned a child, and you actually have a relationship with that child, and that child is dependent on you. And when someone stops supporting that child doesn't have any help. They're just kind of floundering. And that organization was Compassion International. It's a blue-chip organization, one of the most respected nonprofits in the history of our country. And we decided to fund, to put money to fund the children who had been dropped. We've got a longer-term relationship with this organization. My wife, my family, our kids, and I have got a much, much longer-term relationship with our kids and with this organization. And the reason we are is because God is calling us to that area. He's called us that. In fact, if you have a relationship with God, God is calling you to protect. It's not a matter of if you will or if you won't. It's a matter of how you will. And Jesus made this really clear in one of the more difficult passages in the New Testament. It was a really rough one for me to wrestle with. And I was reminded of it when I was over in Israel recently filming for Easter. I'm looking forward to Easter. You're not going to want to miss it. And I'm thinking you're going to come. You're going to go, man, I should have brought Bob. I should have brought Jamaica. No, you just take a risk. Bring them because I think it's going to be pretty powerful. We were filming over there. I saw this image that Jesus referred to. I saw a shepherd shepherding along sheep and goats. Jesus talks in this story that I'm going to tell you that God separates the sheep from the goats. And you might think, well, what's so hard about separating sheep from goats? It's pretty obvious. Actually, it isn't. Especially if the sheep is shorn, their hair looks the same. They're the same size, the same weight, the same mass. The shape of their skull and snout is the same. The ears flop the same. Sheep and goats can all be different colors. It's not that easy to tell them apart. And Jesus tells a story, and he says to people who come before, all these sheep and goats, and he says, God will separate the sheep to the right and the goats to the left. And the sheep, Jesus says, look at him and say, well, what's going on? Why are we able to be with you forever, with God in eternity? And Jesus says, well, because you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me in prison. I was orphaned, and you took care of me. That's why. And they go, what are you talking about? We never saw you naked, thankfully. We never saw that. We never visited you in prison. We never gave you clothes. What are you talking about? And Jesus says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. I take it personal. And then he says to the goats, many of whom go to church, he says, get away. You're not going to be with me for eternity. Bye-bye. And they go, wait a minute. Actually, I'll let Jesus speak for himself here. Here's what it says. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus said, you didn't take care of me. They're going, what do you mean? We would take care of you. We read the Bible. We do X, Y, Z. He said, no. Because when you have not protected the vulnerable, when you have an opportunity, it shows that you don't know me. When your heart goes hard over people who are hurting, who are hungry, who don't have a chance without your presence, and when you just like shut down like the Batmobile, Jesus shows that you don't have a relationship with me, and it's a sign of your eternal destiny. This is a regular through line throughout the entire Bible. In the book of James chapter 1, it talks about true religion, true spirituality. Here's what it says. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself by being polluted by the world. The world is polluting us, and the world's not polluting us through social media and mass media. That's not what's being referred to. The world pollutes us in that the world deadens us to the plight of the vulnerable, the needy, the hungry, the hurting, the orphan, the widow. The Bible says, you want to really honor God, be about protecting those who don't have a shot unless you're engaged in their life. Man, last night, kids died of starvation. There's kids all over our world that have no shot. They can't make it on their own, and they don't have a parent, or if they have parents, they don't have the resources. There are kids in Nicaragua that have, outside of us, no hope, and many people just don't give a shit. And many of us in right here right now are more concerned that I said shit than the kids don't have hope. Yes, that was a setup. You're sitting there going, man, I already had somebody social media, they didn't like that word. I'm like, really, you know, really? What is it about our values, those of us who say we're in a relationship with Jesus, that like these things bother us, but does it bother us that God's people, his children, don't have a shot outside of us? It should, because when the Spirit of God's alive in you, this is the kind of stuff that drives you, but the world pollutes us. The world makes us always be cynical. The world causes us to say, oh, well, compassion, they must have something weird going. Oh, well, that's just some Sally Struthers video trying to pull the heartstrings. Oh, well, that's really not going to help that person. Oh, there's some of us who are too young. Sally Struthers, who is that? I was trying to remember the song now. How'd the song go? Didn't have no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G-R-L-S-O-L. I don't even know the words. Old show with an actress on there. Anyway, I'm losing myself. Where was I going? Oh, pollute the world. So we just go, well, you know what? The government should be doing it. The government should be doing it. The Gates Foundation should be doing it. Somebody else, not me. And this is all signs of being polluted, because when the Spirit of God is alive and vibrant in you, you want to be a protector. And when you see somebody who doesn't have a shot, you want to help them. Even if you can't, you want to, and you try to figure it out. And most of us in here can give someone a shot for $38 a month. Most of us, how would you know? Well, 3/4 of all Americans who have garages can't fit their car in their garage because they have so much stuff in there. If you can buy so much stuff that your car doesn't have a place to rest, some of that money can be redirected. We have resources. It's just our heart isn't about the things that God is about. Many of us have closets filled with clothes, and we look at those clothes, we can't remember the last time we wore a lot of them. And we buy so many clothes to keep up with fashion, we regularly go to Snooty Fox or Goodwill or wherever, because we can't remember ever wearing out any clothes at all. We have enough money to keep up with fashion, and we don't remember ever wearing out a sole of shoes. Why are shoe repair businesses going out of business? Because we don't wear our shoes to the point where they're worn out. We buy shoes to be hip and trendy. And if we do have two cars, we have the opportunity and ability to take care of the fortune. If we buy so much stuff that we can sell things on eBay, we have the opportunity to be protected. If we have the opportunity to buy clothes, buy shoes, or our coffee habit, as is mine, is expensive enough to go get a caramel latte mochi up your butt, whatever the heck your specific thing is, that's how Lib and I are going to take on another kid. We're just going to alter our coffee habits. There's nothing wrong with having a garage that's full of stuff. There isn't. There's nothing wrong with having two cars. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be fashionably trendy if you're managing your money right and you want to stay fashionable with your clothes and your shoes. There's nothing wrong with having a strategic decision to spend a lot of money on coffee. There's nothing wrong with that. There's just something wrong when we allow all those things to pollute the thing that's important, and that is us protecting, us having a heart for Jesus, because Jesus says, I am present where there is someone who is vulnerable. Time magazine just this last week said this: Americans arguably have more stuff now than any society in history. Children in the United States make up 3.1% of the world's kid population, but United States families buy more than 40% of the toys purchased globally. Again, I'm not down on toys being purchased. I'm just saying there's choices that we have here that we can make. And it was great as our kids were growing up, as we'd have our children, Tawil or Ragabuthi, who we have right now, on the refrigerator, just be able to remind them, you know, we don't have all the things, or you can't get all the things that others might, because, you know, we're protecting a life here month in, month out. And it was a spiritually developing moment for them and for us. Man Camp rocked me. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that means for us as a church and as men and women going forward. There's something really powerful there. I haven't figured that one out, but I did figure one thing out, because the last thing that wrecked me and totally blew my mind was I went to Nicaragua. I went to Nicaragua with Compassion International. As I said, Lib and I have been doing Compassion International for a long, long time. And they invited us to go down. We were in a small group of people and just kind of touring and seeing what was happening there. And I was moved intensely. And I'll share in a moment why I was and why I needed to repent and ask forgiveness and a bunch of stuff. But that led to this weekend. That led to this weekend where we're trying to do the largest ask and the largest amount of kids that ever been have taken care of in a country in one weekend in Compassion's history. And to describe that, I'll let the president, the leader of Compassion International, Jim Miotto, let us in on it.
Hey, Crossroads. I'm Jimmy Miotto, president of Compassion International. And I want to thank you and encourage you in this incredible sponsorship challenge that you're taking on to impact the children of Nicaragua. I lived in Nicaragua as a little boy and got a front row seat to the devastating effects of poverty on children in particular. I've also known and loved your pastor, Brian Tome, for a long time. From the first time I met him some 15 years ago, he's been a source of inspiration and a great example to me of a risk taker for Christ. He's an incredible leader, an innovator, and a gutsy pastor who doesn't hesitate to push the envelope to change our world for Jesus. And that's exactly what I believe Crossroads is doing right now with this challenge to sponsor 4,000 Nicaraguan children through Compassion. The magnitude of this effort is unprecedented in all of Compassion's 60 plus years of ministry. No other single church in the world has taken on this level of commitment in one campaign. And I'm not surprised, Crossroads is leading the way. So once again, thank you so much, Crossroads. Your intense focus on Nicaragua will have a substantial impact throughout that region today and for generations to come. You can count on it. And we're proud, proud to be partners with you in this amazing cause for Christ.
Those are all images that were taken on a trip I was with, all kids that I saw. And again, the pollution of the world would cause, oh man, those were just kind of stock kids or this or that. No, those are real people, real kids that have real needs. And I was touched really deeply. I was blown away by what I experienced. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6 to 11. We talked about this part of this verse at the beginning of this series when we were on the man aspect, but this brings it into full circle. Here's what it says. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And when I was a child, or when I was a boy, I talked like a boy, I thought like a boy, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, when I became a woman of God, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. This was a verse we shared the very first week, that we've got to graduate to be men and women of God. That doesn't automatically happen by going to church or having a certain set of beliefs. We've got to graduate there. And part of how we graduate there is we become like God, and God is love. And what is love? Love is not emotional feeling. Love is not a tear that comes down your eye. Love is not a quiver in your liver. You might have a quiver in your liver when you love. You might have a tear that comes to your eye when you love. But those things are not love. They're not even signs of love. They're emotions. This passage defines what love is. First thing love is it's protecting. Love always protects. When you are a loving person, you are a protecting person. I was shocked when I went down to Nicaragua that my money, our money that we were putting in, was really protecting a child. I saw it over and over again. In fact, I saw these children whose lives were different because they had sponsors. I actually saw going in houses, pictures they had in their shacks of people back in the States or in Canada, and their family was thankful for them because they were being protected. I asked, what happens if a child is sponsored inside of a home and the other kids aren't sponsored? Isn't that sort of sibling rivalry? And I learned, no, not at all. The family's excited. It's like, great, that's one less mouth we have to worry about. Let's redistribute the resources so other people can actually. I saw for the first time, even unbeknownst to me, I was being a protector. The second thing that love does is it trusts. Love trusts. I was ashamed, and I repented and asked forgiveness to Compassion International that I didn't trust them, that what they said was exactly what it was. I thought, well, yeah, you're telling me that there's this child that I'm helping, and I know I'm getting these letters from this child. Most of the time, he wouldn't even respond because I'm thinking, I'm sending stuff off. It's going to some big account over here, and they're sort of recruiting kids who they're getting in their porridge lines, and they're kind of just doing that, and there's really not a personal connection there at all. And I went over and realized, oh, no, oh, my gosh. When these kids aren't heard from, they don't hear from their sponsors, it's like they're feeling like they're being orphaned and abandoned. And when they get a sponsor, it's like, whoo, it's amazing. And I wasn't trusting that it actually was supporting, and there was that relationship. I'm sure part of that $38 is supporting infrastructure costs. It has to. No ministry can happen without that. But I know this, a massive portion of it's going to that child, and that child knows it, and they're dependent on what I'm doing. And I just had to repent and said, I'm sorry. I kind of, you know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. So maybe I was reaping what I sowed, because I know people here just don't trust me or Crossroads. Like, you're thinking, oh, no, you're trying to get some kickback here. That's not the way it works. Or there's major risk here for us. Major risk. When people divert their giving, I don't know if I'm going to be able to have my $100,000 quarterly bonus that happens every quarter for me. I don't know. I am kidding, in case you're not. I've never had a quarterly bonus, but if there's any board members here, it would be a good idea to think about one. So, now I'll tell you, this is amazingly risky for us. When I say we have 2 weeks cash on hand, I mean that's all the money we have in the bank. Not in the checking account, only in the check. We have no trust funds, we have no brokerage accounts, we have no. That's all. And so by bringing this forward, if you're moved, and I just so you know, if you move your money from what you give to Crossroads, $38 over that, there will be massive carnage here. Massive carnage. And I'm just telling you, please trust me, please. Please, I'm serious about that. And with compassion, I just had to tell them, man, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that it was exactly as you said it was. In fact, it wasn't exactly as they said it was. It was better. I was blown away because love hopes. Love hopes. Love offers hope. When there is hope, when there is a possibility of the future, love is present. I was dumbfounded at the level of education, dumbfounded that 20% of compassion kids go on to higher education. I met adults who were compassion kids, who were gainfully employed, amazing, amazing people. I would go into schools that compassion works in, and I would see binders of these kids, and virtually is their only record that they're a human being because there's no birth certificates or anything like that, a history of their work, being able to go through. I was blown, utterly blown away at the hope that's offered out of the love that was going to the compassion kids. And I was able to repent. I was able to say I'm sorry only because I persevered, because that's what love does. Love perseveres. If it wasn't automatically taken out of my account, out of my checking account or my credit card, I wouldn't have persevered. Love only matters if you, whatever it is, friends, love only matters when we persevere. So today, we're close to protecting more kids, to offering trust, to giving hope and persevering in it. So to help us understand some of those logistics, I want to bring up Rob Seddon, who's on our staff and went down and did some legwork for us. So please welcome Rob Seddon. Rob.
Thank you. As is often the case, when Brian has an experience like he did in Nicaragua, I then have to fly down there and figure out what the heck we're going to do. So I got to go.
Oh, darn. Sucks to be you. What an awful job you have. Darn. Cry me a river.
I have to travel the world.
World's smallest violin right here. Wow.
I have to travel the world and clean up Brian's messes. That's my job description. So I went down to Nicaragua back in December. And as I was going down, there's a family here at Crossroads, the DeBras family, who are friends of mine.
Let's stop right there, Rob. Let me just say that. Why did you get Rob to go down? It's because this is the first time a church said we want a whole country.
Right.
So they're trying new things with us. So it's required a lot of collaboration. We should have brought that in the other services.
Yep.
Keep going.
Yep. So I went down, and the DeBras family, normal family here at Crossroads, friends of mine, they said, we've sponsored kids in Nicaragua for years. We've been writing back and forth through Compassion. We were writing back and forth, and we've never met our kids. Can you meet them for us? Can you take down some gifts for us? I said, absolutely. So I took backpacks full of like school supplies and Bibles and stickers and all kinds of stuff. And I went down, I told Compassion, I would like to meet these kids. And one of the kids that we met, her name was Daeris. And we have a picture of Daeris. This is her at her home. We went to her home. I gave her the backpack. I had a video from the DeBras family saying, you know, hey, Daeris, we just wanted to say hi. We love you. This is for you. She went through the gift. And then our translator asked Daeris, do you want to film a thank you video back home for the DeBras family? And she said yes. So I filmed her thank you video.
Now, before we show this, let's just make sure we all understand. This is just an average family at Crossroads that found out about this, and we went and saw an average child who's being sponsored.
That's right.
So
exactly.
That's the background here.
Yeah, so this is her thank you video back to her sponsor family.
Hola, querida Victoria.
Hello, dear Victoria.
Gracias por estos regalos que me han mandado.
Thank you for the gift that you sent
que
me.
Dios derrame bendiciones sobre tu familia.
May God pour many blessings in your family.
Gracias por ser mi compañera.
Thank you for being my sponsor and a friend for me.
El Señor te bendiga.
May God bless you.
Y a toda tu familia.
May God bless you and your family.
Que el Señor derrame mucho.
And may God pour many blessings in your family. I love you very much. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Merry Christmas with your family. Full of health. Thank you.
You can never say that this doesn't matter to these kids. It absolutely does. And here's the thing. This isn't like we told Compassion, take us to meet some kid, and they said, let's take him to the perfect kid, the girl who cries all the time. No. This was a random kid. We just gave them a name, and we said, we want to go meet this girl. And we did, and we saw how powerful this relationship is. Now, Nicaragua, actually, let me say this first. We go to incredible lengths in everything we do internationally, South Africa, India, and now Nicaragua, to make sure that what we are doing makes a difference. It is not just a facade. There are facades all over the world when it comes to international work. We go to incredible lengths to do that, and I can assure you, we have seen it with our own eyes that compassion in Nicaragua, compassion all over the world, is the real deal, and this will truly make a difference. Now, Nicaragua is the second poorest country in our hemisphere, behind only Haiti. And if we hit this goal of 4,000 kids, we will be sponsoring way more than 10% of all the Compassion Kids in Nicaragua. And that has the chance to change the future of that country. We can do this together as a wolf pack. So let me tell you how we're gonna do this. In a minute, Brian's gonna release people. And here's what we're gonna do. You can go to wherever you see packets. There are packets on the back walls here. The lights are coming up now. On the first level, the second level, and the third level. Everyone down front, you can come up on stage. There are tables here. There are tables here that have packets on them. We have boys on this side, girls on this side. Okay? You go grab a packet. All right? And don't search for the perfect kid. Don't look for, oh, I just want the perfect birth date, or she or he just has to look right. Don't do that. Just go. These are all kids who need hope. So go just grab whatever packet. Just assume it's the Holy Spirit directing you to that kid and take that packet, okay?
And now, the reason that is we're expecting a lot of people are going to want to do this. And if we have people just going, oh, I want to wander, well, I'm going to pray over all these packets, there's going to be a log jam, and people who are waiting might get frustrated, might not take a child. That child will get sponsored, they'll go hungry, and you'll go to hell. So.
That's pastor motivation 101 right there.
I don't care who you are. It's funny there. That's good stuff.
What you're going to do is you're going to grab the packet, and you're going to bring it back to your seat. Don't leave. All right? You're going to come back to your seat, and you're going to fill out. This is a packet. This is the girl that my family is going to sponsor, Euphemia. Don't make fun of my Spanish. You're going to take this packet, and in this packet, you will find a sponsor card that looks like this. Okay? You're going to fill out both sides of this card. There's a lot of other information in this packet to fill out. Don't worry about it. You fill that out when you get home, and you mail it back. All you do is fill out this card front and back. You put your credit card information on it. If you don't have a credit card here, you can go talk to the people at the booths outside. And then on your way out, you will drop this card in the drop boxes. Okay? Do not leave with uncompleted packets. Don't take a packet, walk out, and say, I'll just do this later. Because if you don't, those packets get lost. We can't have that
happen.
They
have to go to Compassion staff right here today.
Right. So you need to fill this out today and drop it.
And we're going to assume you've got a great reason, and God doesn't want you to take one of those children, okay? Please, do not, try to fit in and just go take one and then, try to stuff in your shirt or half fill it out. That's a life that really will get lost. It's a one-to-one ratio. That's the records.
Many of you may want to do this with your family. You might want to lead your family in this and use this as a way to teach your kids, which is amazing. Please do that. But you might want to go to Kids Club to get your kids to help them, have them be a part of this. Don't do that. We don't have time to do that. We don't have systems to do that. As our Kids Club director, Kim, said, she said, their kids weren't there when they conceived their other kids, and they don't need to be there when they conceive this kid, which is true. So don't do that. Just go get a packet, and you can share that with your kids later. If you have any questions, there are going to be people all around with Compassion shirts on. They look like this, Compassion aprons. You can ask them questions. They will have pens for you. And then one other thing we need to share is when you go up, you're going to see two types of packets. We already showed you the one with a picture of a kid on it. There's another one that looks more like this. It says, sponsor a child like, and it has a picture of a kid. That is what we call a standard packet, all right? That is tied to a specific kid. But Compassion didn't have the time to get the information on those packets because what we are doing is so big, they didn't have the time to put it all together. So those are kids, and you can take those packets and you can fill those out.
They have the kids, they have the photographs, but the printing process, we're pressing their systems, they couldn't pull it in time for this.
That's right.
It's so, pretty awesome. How cool is that?
Yeah. In just a couple of weeks, Compassion will send you all the information on your kid. It's going to be like Christmas. You get to open that up when it comes in the mail, and you get to learn everything about your kid. So you can take either type of packet. You can take one that does have a picture, a name of a kid, or you can take one of these standard packets and fill that out, and that is sponsoring a kid, all right? And then finally, I'll say, we want you to meet your kids. And we're going to do that. We are going to have Go Nicaragua trips starting up later this year. So people will get the chance to go meet their kid. Now, it's going to take a while. We'll have trips later this year. We'll have trips in 2016 and beyond. But that is a very important part of this. Having that one-on-one relationship, that personal relationship with someone you're protecting is so powerful. So we want to make sure you get the opportunity to do that, and you will have the opportunity to do that. Okay?
Awesome. And boys are over here.
Boys are over
girls
here.
Are over
girls
here.
Are over here.
And people oftentimes like the girls because they feel like they're more vulnerable and the boys will figure it out. That's really not true. And I think a lot of us as well, have really been touched by the boy thing. I know there's guys in here who are not married and single, and then they're like, I want to be a protector. Maybe you want to take on one of those boys. And like, I'm going to have some sort of man influence on that guy. Just a little challenge for you. So good. Great. Thanks, Rob. Great.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. So let me just say this final bit. Again, this is incremental to whatever you have in your budget, whatever you're giving to Crossroads, wherever. If God's moving on you, and I know that He is a large bit of us, we're going to be able to do this. And I'll tell you, this is very risky. It's very risky. And I count the cost on this. There's a reason why churches don't like to do this. It's very risky and very damaging. Could be potentially damaging to a church. And as I've thought about this and prayed about it, I thought, you know what, God, you could have been growing, you could have started Crossroads 19 years ago for only this weekend. We turned 19 last Tuesday. You could have used everything else, all the different campuses, all the stuff in India, South Africa, the City Link, the man camps, all. You could have been doing all that stuff only for this. And if after this weekend, Crossroads goes away, I am good with that. Because if I can say I was used by you, we were used by you, God, to do this number of kids, gosh, awesome. So give God your best right now. Jesus is on those walls. Jesus is on those walls. That's what He said. So I'm going to pray for you. Those of us who are going to take part, you're going to get up. And some of you might want to hang back a bit because there might be a logjam. You can decide you're going to get up. You're going to go pick off one of those things off the walls and the tables. You're going to go in. You're going to come back to your seat. Back to your seat, and you're going to rip this off. You're going to tear that off. You're going to pull out your credit card, your checkbook, whatever it is. You're going to fill out that information, and then you're going to take your own copy for yourself, and you're going to keep that, and you're going to drop this in the boxes when you leave. That's what we're doing the rest of our service. So God, thank you that you've given us a church that believes in you and believes in love, and you've given us people in this room that believe in you and believe in love, and you've given us children that are Jesus, according to Jesus' words. I pray for your grace on all lives that are loving right now. Amen. Okay.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name and sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. Song. whatever may pass and whatever lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening calls. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy.
Beautiful, so beautiful. As we sit down, just make sure these are filled out. Take your time. Take your time. We're not going anywhere. I mean, it's all in finishing well. So make sure you take your time. Fill that out clearly and legibly so the Compassion staff can get that and we can get hooked up with our kids. Can I just say right now, man, I'm so proud to be part of this church right now. I'm so proud. I'm really proud of you guys. This is beautiful. So let's keep connecting with God through this singing and through filling out and through choosing a child.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 1,000 years and then forevermore, evermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
As we do this last song, if you're done, you can leave at any time, drop this off. And before we leave, or before you're done, take your time filling it out right. Before you do, let me just put a blessing on you right now. And I got to pray this one with my eyes open. I just got to say, God, every life in here that wants to be a loving protector, I pray for a unique blessing right now. I pray for extra grace. I pray for extra resources. I pray for something to break for every person who's in this room, because these are your sheep. These are your sheep that want to be used to love. And so, God, thank you for these people. And may all of our efforts that we're doing right now have an impact on all of these children. You're good to include us in your work, God, and you're good to put me in this place, in this room, with these people. Amen.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Oh,
seek your face and not your hand.